Hello, my loves. Welcome to the Our Maker Life podcast, a place where we talk all things knitting, crochet, yarn, and love for fiber arts for makers by makers. My name is Jewel. I lead the OML team, and I am your podcast host. In today's episode, which I'm ecstatic to say is the very first episode of the OML podcast second season, I'm chatting with Janine Miska. She's a knit and crochet indie designer and blogger from Winnipeg, Canada. Her maker business is Knits and Knots, and we're sharing with you how and why she launched her business, all on a very ambitious plan A only mentality, how Janine has evolved her career as a knit and crochet wear designer in the last 5 years, her new modern crochet sweater pattern book officially releasing in just a few months, and what she's learned about loving fiber arts and crafts post-pandemic. You're going to get some good encouragement, too, about taking a leap of faith in this industry and how that can really allow you to manifest some amazing opportunities in your knit and crochet business and why you want to stay open to, you know, your aha moments that spark your vision and why it's super cool to be and stay open-minded for what and who the universe can bring your way, both in the short term and the long term game in running your yarn business. Okay. So I love listening to podcasts while I knit. I usually have a cup of coffee nearby. So I want you to get comfortable, grab your knits, get a warm bevy, and enjoy this convo with me and Janine. Here we go. Janine, thank you so much for being our season two honorary.
I'm so honored.
Yes. It's been a while since we've done an OML podcast. Our season was definitely a couple years ago now. And I had really been thinking for quite a while of, you know, starting the second season. I'm just like, who am I going to talk to? Who would want to talk to me? And who would be that perfect person? And of course, once you and I started chatting a few weeks ago, I was like, duh, Janine.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Who wouldn't want to talk to you though?
For real? And you got your OML shirt on. I should have worn my.
I do. Shirt. I actually didn't even think of that. I slept in this. I didn't even change
it. It was the universe preparing for today.
It was meant to be.
Exactly. So I want us to just kind of jump right into it and have our listeners know a little bit more about you, because of course you and I have been maker friends, maker BFF in my head
for
years now. But tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your business.
Sure. So I'm Janine, and my business is Knits and Knots. And I started it in 2016 when I was in university doing my food science degree and not really loving it. And on the side, I just learned to knit. I said in passing to my mom that I wanted to learn to knit. And then at Christmas time, she got me one of those knitting looms from Michaels, those circular ones with all the pegs on it. And it's the easiest thing. You just like wrap the pegs and lift them over and you can make a hat.
Yeah.
And I ended up loving it and made, I don't know, hundreds of hats, which is more than I need for one head. And so then my boyfriend was like, you should start selling them. Mm. And so I created a little Instagram account that I think at the time I called Knits and Knots by Jan, which is the most embarrassing thing, but it's been long enough since then that I feel comfortable sharing that. And then I remember when I got my, you like that?
Yeah, I never knew that.
I never told anyone that. It's too embarrassing. And then, so I started selling them on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then as a method of, meeting up with people. I just found it too hard to like try, like I could only sell to people in my city and I'd meet them at the mall or meet them at a coffee shop or something. And it was getting too much. And so I set up an Etsy shop. And then I remember when I got my first Etsy sale, I got this cha-ching sound and I was like, what the heck was that noise? And then I was like, oh my gosh, someone bought one of my things.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning, and that was still during school. And then school ended. Mm-hmm. And I graduated and I worked in my field for a bit and I did not like it. And I think it was just a combination of finding something that I really loved to do and currently in a position that I did not like, that I made the decision to do this full time. I had actually taken a position as a master's student in food science, and I knew at the time it didn't feel quite right, but I did it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, not liking it because I already didn't like my first degree. And I dropped my master's program to do knits and knots full time. And ever since, I have done markets and everything, did the whole market scene, and then started designing things once people started asking for the pattern to things I was posting. And I didn't even know that pattern writing or pattern selling was a thing even. Then I started dabbling in that, and I loved that even more than selling finished things. Mm-hmm. And now that's what I do full time. And then I wrote a book, which comes out later this year, November 2021.
Congratulations. Today.
Thank you. Yeah, very exciting.
Wow. So I know you say all of that in all of 2 minutes. So it's 2016, you said, when you started?
Yeah.
So that's what, about, is that 6 years exactly? 16?
Yeah. I guess that would be around 6 years.
So, I mean, that's so much accomplishment.
Didn't feel like it for most of it.
But did it feel like it was a long time, or does it feel like it happened overnight and like you just heard your first Etsy ching like yesterday?
It does kind of feel like yesterday, but then in another way, it kind of feels like I've been doing this forever.
Yeah. Which is, it's such a great accomplishment. So many people after 5 years don't accomplish all that you've done. And it really speaks to such a great ambition to have in this industry and in this community. Because it also sounds like you've just been doing a lot of growth and involvement or involving. And I know that can be really scary for people who are trying to run their own business, especially when you can go from sort of the cushion and the comfort zone of school. Even if you don't necessarily like what you're doing, a lot of people will stay in that box and stay in those positions because it's comfort. And only a small amount of people actually take that leap. So that's awesome.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I totally agree. For the first, 4 years, I basically made no money pretty much, or I made enough money to like barely scrape by. Like I would have to, I remember this one time I was making a bralette or something and I needed one skein of like Vanna's Choice from Michaels and I had to check my bank account. I'm like, do I have $5? Not sure. I felt like I was kind of living like that for a long time, but just to take it back a little bit, I kind of thought that my life was sort of boring when I was like maybe up to like 20 years old or something. Mm-hmm. I just kind of felt like, okay, all I've done at this point is, you know, school up to 18, like everyone else, but I didn't have a lot of outside hobbies or outside things. And I just felt like I needed more things to be an interesting person. You know what I mean? Mm. And then when I was 19, my dad passed away. And I think that combined with all these other feelings I was having with like not liking what I was doing, just wanting to find more things and like be a more diverse person. Mm-hmm. And then, with my dad passing, it kind of made me think like, okay, I need to do something crazy. And I feel like trying to make a full-time living off yarn. I mean, it sounds kind of
crazy. That's almost as crazy as it gets, Janine. Let me just design and knitwear of all things. It's a really big leap and it's really amazing. And my condolences to your father, but it definitely sounds like, especially from the time when that happened to when you actually made that leap, that he was certainly looking over you. And hearing you and guiding you from the beginning. So that's awesome.
I think so. And I just kind of felt like life's too short. I found something I like to do. I'm kind of in the perfect position at that time because I wasn't too set in stone in anything I was doing. I felt like that's the perfect time to kind of try it. And I remember when I just kind of made that decision to quit my master's and like take a new, totally new path. I remember telling my mom and she was like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yes, like I'm so sure about this." And then she's like, "Okay, if this is like," we had a little conversation about it. And she's like, "If this is really how you feel, totally support you. Give it your all right now." And so that's what I did. I like every single moment of, the first few years, I felt like my mind was just consumed with knitting and crocheting and learning new stitches, learning how to write a pattern. How do I ship my items? Like it was just a lot of learning, but I was just, I don't know. I was on a path I didn't love. So I felt like this is this is my one shot to really try to make this into something. So
that's awesome. And then yeah. when you did make that transition, did it feel like what you might have been thinking that school and all of that should have felt like, this is the path that I'm supposed to be on, even if I don't know what I'm doing? And yeah, I'm having to check my account to see if I can buy one skein of yarn, which I've totally been there. And I just, one thing that I love about the industry is how different our stories are, and we can keep just crossing these paths because we have that like commonality of that passion. But
yeah,
did it feel like that for you once you started to go on that journey? Did it feel different for you once you were on that path versus what you felt like in school a little bit?
Yes, totally. It felt so different. I mean, every aspect of it was different, to not having to wake up at a certain time. You know, I didn't need an alarm clock, but I still had one. But I mean, just everything from not having to, you're not having to answer to anybody. It's all you. And that's kind of a lot of pressure, where it's like your success or your failure is all on you. Like there's no one else to blame because I'm a one woman show here.
Yeah. Yeah. Which again, speaks to like what you've done for yourself and your business as a one woman business in the last 5 years is phenomenal. So many people, so many of us, I think, you're so welcome. Feel like, you know, once I get to a point where I can hire someone or build a team, then I'll do some of those things. Then I'll write a book. But the fact that you're doing that, and again, you are evolving so much through your business and you keep growing. And I definitely watch you on social media, and you're always staying ahead of the trends and things that happen in our industry, and even setting those bars for trends and styles and looks. And that's pretty cool to know that you've, you know, felt peace about what you're doing, even when there was uncertainty. Because for me, you know, I was involved in knitting when I was an undergrad, and I was totally just doing it as a hobby. Because in South Carolina, it's so hot. So I was, I didn't even know, because clearly there, I was the only knitter in South Carolina. I never met anyone else. So I didn't see people doing it as a business or anything like that. But once I moved to Chicago, I felt a little bit more pressure to kind of maybe evolve it to that. But I stayed in my comfort zone in grad school. And I just immediately told myself that, oh, this must be what everybody else is doing. You don't start doing your craft full time until you feel like you have that time to do it. Now, I mean, I felt, you know, I was fine in grad school. You know, I was enjoying it. But I do remember someone asking me if I would start selling my pieces while I was in grad school, because I was making them for my colleagues and friends and handing them out on the streets of Chicago and stuff like that. And I did get, you know, encouragement to start my shop while I was in my last year of grad school. And I was like, no, that's not something I can do until I'm finished with my degree, because then I'll have all this free time
totally.
To focus on it. So the fact that you were basically fearless and looking at it within the perimeters of what you felt good for your soul and your spirit versus sort of looking at what you think other people are doing is pretty incredible, because I know that I was like lurking like other full-timers and seeing like, okay, are they doing something else, you know, in their business, or are people doing it part-time? And I just immediately told myself like, no one is doing basically exactly what you did, Jenny. I was like, doing that. Aww. So that's pretty incredible. And I think that's very encouraging, hopefully, to our listeners, that there's no one way to do it. You got to do what feels right for you. Mm-hmm. But you can't totally. Be afraid to take that leap.
Yes. And to answer you asked me the question before, if it felt different when I did this business versus school, and I think I gave you an answer to a different question, but to answer that, it did feel different. And I felt like, even though at the time I was, oh, broke, whatever. I was so happy to be doing what I was doing. And I was so excited to finish a new thing and show it off on Instagram and have like other yarn lovers comment or message me and be like, oh, how did you do this? Blah, blah, blah. And just being able to chat knitting and crochet things with people from all over the world. Like, I just loved that connection, that it didn't matter. I don't know. Nothing else mattered. I was happy at the time and like making enough to at least, well, I mean, I was living at home, so I didn't have very many bills to pay or anything like that. But I also felt like another reason for maybe it all working out in the end is that I felt like I had no other option. And, you know, when you don't have any other option, you sometimes do things maybe like without that pressure, maybe it wouldn't have happened this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, I feel like that plays a role in it too. But I also know how kind of in the beginning, I totally felt the same way seeing other makers online or whatever, and seeing the ones who kind of say that they're full time or whatever. And that kind of seemed like, oh, this is the ultimate life, being able to do this full time and being able to wear that badge, call yourself full time. But I totally feel like the great part of working from home and having your own business is that it can be whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want it to be full-time, it doesn't have to be full-time. It can be a side thing. It can be a couple times a year, I pull up the yarn. Maybe I write a pattern. Maybe I just knit for fun. I just feel like it shouldn't really be a badge of honor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like in the beginning, maybe it's because you want to get to that point so bad that you say it like that. But I just think you should do what you want to do. Make it what you want to do. If you want to have a full-time job and this, there's no one thing better than the other. It is what it is. It should bring you peace and happiness. And if it does, then that's what it's supposed to do. That's how I feel.
I feel the exact same way. And I truly feel like it's that what you just said that really even led to the launching and creation of OML, you know, because I started to see that how I might have been leaning more into and thinking when I was in graduate school and just even a year after I graduated, because after I got my master's, it took me a while to even try and find something that I felt I would be happy in with my degree. So I was like, okay, I guess now's a good time to try to do some knitting. you know, as I, that was around 2015. And so as I was in the industry and started to get involved in, you know, the whole Instagram and Etsy world and stuff like that, I did see, I was like, oh, nobody's story really looks like mine. No one's path and journey really looks like mine. And no one else's truly looks like anyone else's either, except this love that we have, this passion that we share to actually just knit and crochet. And whether that's making like finished pieces, are designing, are doing podcasts or, you know, books or whatever it is. It's just like there's that essence and that deep commonality. And I was like, that is what the maker life is. The maker life is not having it look this one particular way or that one particular way, and how you run your business or in how you do the craft in general. It's that love and that passion for it. That's what it is. And so your sentiment about it is exactly why I think OML is and why OML has been welcomed so much, because I think other people kind of thought, you know, it's like, we question ourselves, right? Like, is, you know, I can't make this leap to do it this way until I can confirm and compare myself to someone else who is doing it. Then I have this like self-adequacy.
Right. And the fact that everybody's story is different and everybody has different reasons for doing what they do. They got there different ways. They have different likes and dislikes about everything within the industry. Like, that's what makes people interesting. Yeah. You know, I love that everyone has different stories and, you know, it's like everyone has these cool little lives. It's like this little maze and everything ended up just in the same spot. You know, this one thing that we all love. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we all, as many of us can get in the door.
Yeah.
At the OML events, and we're like, oh my God, yeah, now I finally get to meet you in person. And like,
exactly.
Talk about it so much more. But yeah, totally. I agree with you. And again, I hope for people listening to this that they really take that to heart. If there's something that you deep down inside, you are doing something right now and it's not giving you this passion, but you are questioning, you know, if knitting and crochet can bring that to you, but you don't know how that will look like, then like, remember Janine. Remember, aww, you know, that, you know, I think that's just really great. In so many ways of that, like, hey, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it doesn't even really sound like you were thinking about that very much. And you were thinking about it more from the standpoint of like, well, at this point, this is going to be my point A, and I'm my plan A, and I'm not going to have a plan B. And that's pretty rad too, because a lot of people, I mean, I know I don't even, you know, some people look at me like, are you a type A personality? And I'm like, I think I'm more of like a plan A through Z personality. Like, yeah. I got to have backup plan before I will actually take a leap and actually feel comfortable with doing something. But I do know that, like, in the times that I have been like, this is my plan A, no plan B, like, it happens or bust, it just turns out so awesome. Because like you said, it pushes, it gives you a different drive that you may not have trying to live your life and business other ways.
Exactly. It's like, I knew I had to make it work. And I started at point A. I knew I had to get to point B. Didn't know how I was going to get there, but I was going to figure it out. Didn't care how long it would take, but I was going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. So 5 years, all this amazing, cool stuff that you've done. And now we are here to Modern Crochet Sweaters, which is so amazing. When I would look at you and your shop and your business and how you were running it years before, I don't know if I looked and like, that girl's going to write a book one day, but I did look at you and like, she's amazing. I would tell you this all the time, Jenny, whenever I see you at events, because there will be hundreds of people at our events and you just have a je ne sais quoi and a presence, you know, that people are just so drawn to. And, you know, I would tell you all the time.
Wow, that is the nicest. Thank you so much.
So true. It's so true. I would totally be like fangirling out when I see you at the events. But I always told you, I was like, you are just going to be so great. Like, you're just going to do something so wonderful in this industry. And you always have been. And I see even so much more for you. But I mean, what an amazing, amazing accomplishment of Modern Crochet Sweaters. I want you to tell everybody, how did this come to be? Like, how did you make this book?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much. That was the sweetest compliment. So I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you how I got there. Okay. And so this book is, it's 192 pages. The book is called Modern Crochet Sweaters. In this book, there are 20 sweater patterns ranging from pullovers, cardigans. There's a capelet. There's a couple dresses. It's kind of just like a range of sweater-like garments. And they're all written from extra small to 5X. And I think that's kind of uncommon for a lot of, at least crochet garment books for what I've seen.
Wonderful.
And so that's what it is. It's available on Amazon for pre-order right now and will be out in November. And how I got there, so this was my year of 2020. I was living in a different province because my partner was working there. So I had moved across the country to live there. Mm-hmm. Then when COVID hit, he lost his job. Ugh. And we didn't really know, you know, it was March of 2020. No one really knew what it would be. So we were like, okay, do we stay where we are and then figure it out? Or do we move back home? Because who knows how long this is going to be.
Right.
So we moved back home. And then there was a law that came into effect that you had to quarantine for 2 weeks when you cross provincial borders. So then we're like, okay, so we can't just move our U-Haul straight from one place to a new place because we can't look at apartments or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So then we had to live in my partner's parents' basement for a while, a little longer than I would have liked to do that, but grateful that we had a place to stay.
Sure, yeah.
And so during that time, all of my work things, everything, my yarn, even my clothes, my tax stuff, and it was tax time, mm-hmm. everything was packed away in the garage. Couldn't find anything. I was such a mess. And I wasn't checking my email very often. I was just, you know, not living my best life.
Yeah.
And I checked my email and I saw it was a follow-up email. And it was like potential book. Mm. And at first I saw it, I remember seeing it like a month prior and thinking it was like a scam, like one of those, you know, especially through Instagram, you get all these like fake things. And I didn't even look twice at it. And then I'm like, okay, follow up. Like sometimes I give them, you know, another look when it says follow up. And it was from a real publisher asking if I'd be interested in writing a book. And I was like, holy crap. And so then I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'd be interested in a call.
Immediate response.
Yeah. All caps. Yes. And then so we set up a conference call and they kind of just told me what the deal is sort of like for first time authors and what they do, what kind of books they publish and how it would work. And then we kind of discussed what would a potential Janine Miska Knits and Knots book look like. And so I said, well, the first thing I thought of was that it would be crochet just because that's kind of what my audience is more of. That's what I do more of now. And I feel like crochet. So we narrowed that down and be crochet. And then, I thought, well, the things that I've had most success on were like my rosebud raglan, my chainette turtleneck, a bunch, they're all sweaters. Yeah. And so I thought, well, maybe a sweater book would be good. And then the other thing was that I'd started sizing everything from extra small to 5X. So then I thought, okay, this would be a book on like, it would be sweaters, size inclusive sweaters. And there'd be, they'd be crochet. So that's kind of like where we landed. And then they said, okay, well, send us, a table of contents of what you think, like the chapter layouts and stuff, and one sample pattern. And then after that, then I could sign the contract. So then I did that and I made a cardigan and wrote the pattern out, sent it to them. And then I got a contract, and then I remember getting the book contract in like through email and looking at it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the most legit thing I've ever seen. And I kind of felt like, well, first of all, I always knew I wanted to write a book, like my whole entire life. Didn't think it'd be on something like crochet, but whatever, it's fine. And it all worked out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, of course.
And it kind of felt like this opportunity just like came to me when I really needed something new. And it just almost felt like all these things were kind of happening to me. And I don't know, it just felt right. Like everything just felt like this is the way things are supposed to play out. I kind of feel like this is some divine intervention, because I was like, I don't deserve this opportunity.
Oh, no.
And, and I don't know, it was a great process. Everything worked out. I don't know. There were really no big hiccups or anything at all. Yeah. My manuscript was due in January. So a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I did, a big testing round where I had like over 500 testers testing all the patterns from this book.
Wow.
Because most of them have 9 sizes. Some of them have combined sizes. So there's 4 or 5 sizes for some of the patterns. Mm-hmm. But most of them have 9 sizes, and I wanted at least 3 people testing each one. And sometimes I would have more than 3 people testing if it was a pattern that I thought, I really want to make sure this one's right. If it was one that maybe there were a few mistakes in the previous rounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, ended up being over 500 people testing.
Wow.
And that was like a full-time job in itself. All the
oh my gosh, I can only imagine.
And forms, and yeah, I tried my best to be a good, you know, host of all the tests. Like I tried to be as involved as I could, and I think I did an okay job, but yeah, so that was amazing. So
I'm sure it was
my
great.
My testers did a great job.
Yeah. Shout out to all those testers. I think that's the largest test round I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, and this may be a silly question or an insider question, so if you can't answer it, totally understand. But I mean, cause I've been doing designing for a couple of years now too. And just starting to try and get my feet wet in pattern testing. On some of my designs, it's more like I've not really had a lot of, it's just like one size fits all of us. Enjoy the scarf. But in trying to get into more garment design, and I mean, it absolutely calls for that. So my question is, do you make your pieces in all of the sizes first and then have them tested, or do you make it in your size and then your testers test it in all the sizes that you want?
Okay, good. Totally not a stupid question.
Okay.
I make it in my size. So I make my sample. And so in the book, I'm in all the photos. Mm-hmm. So get ready to be sick of seeing my face. But I'm
the hard eye overseeing your face.
And so I would make my sample in my size, and I know what size. I use the Craft Yarn Council to do all of my sizing standards, and I fall under one size pretty much all the time for sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what size I am, and I know that there's, I know basically what size all the other sizes need to be. And then I do the math on Excel and I grade it, and then I send it to a tech editor to make sure the numbers are right. And then the testers would be the one to just make sure that that it fits their bodies the way it's supposed to and stuff like that. So like some of the patterns, it's, I don't know, it's not always as simple as adding 4 inches every size to the bust size, because there's certain things that don't increase at that rapid of a rate, like people's wrists through extra small to 5X. The wrist size doesn't go up by 4 inches for every size, obviously. So there's, you know, the sleeve increase rates have to be different. The neck openings are pretty much the same. They get a little bit wider and a little bit smaller depending on what size you are. But so yeah, that took a little finessing, and that was probably that's what took the longest time, was just the grading and Yeah. Probably my biggest challenge though was having so many moving parts, like so many patterns that were, okay, this sample's done. I started grading. This one's been sent to the tech editor. This one I need to review, edit. Like it was just every single pattern was at different stages. And so that was kind of staying organized was probably the biggest challenge there.
Yeah. But it really speaks to why I already know the book is going to be so well received because it releases November of this year. So 2021. It's going to be so well received because when you put so much effort into a project like that and you, you know, for lack of a better term, don't half-ass it, like that hard work is going to pay off so much because OML is on their third published book and the first two we self-published and I literally almost found a lake and walked into it. And so it's a very, very difficult thing. But even having the assistance of a publisher house to be under and to help you with a lot of that process, it still took us well into 2 years to, like you said, juggle all of those moving parts. So even for the fact that you and your publishing team were able to have such attention to detail and focus and handle all those moving parts.
Yeah. And so our first email correspondence was somewhere in the spring, like early summer. And I actually started working on the book once a contract was signed, maybe like late July. So I pretty much only had like 6 months to do this whole thing, which is so wild. That's so amazing. I really did nothing else during
this. Did you sleep? Or did you just drink coffee and like pattern grade? Because that's what it sounds pretty much. Like. Yeah, that's incredible though. And you know, I can share that I've gotten a little sneak of your book and you did share the beautiful cover on your social media as well. So everybody go and like check out Janine's page so you can see the cover because you're in this beautiful green top.
I am. Oh, thank you.
I love it. It's like that perfect dark forest green.
It is. Yeah, that was a Lion Brand Superwash Merino from their LB collection. That's what that
love
one
it.
Was.
Love it. Yeah. So I love the just the beauty and effortlessness of the book of how it looks. So as a view from a viewer's eye, you know, it's just it just looks so well crafted, but it really flows and it doesn't look or feel or read overdone. And I know that that was a part of your aim in the book as well, to make beginners feel comfortable enough to come in and do some of these projects, right?
Yes. And okay, I'm glad you said that. That's awesome. Thank you. That's totally how it was supposed to look. I wanted it to look sort of effortless and I have a photographer that I work with a lot and she's just so incredible. And so I knew I had to have her do the photography for this book.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that is one of the big, that's one of my favorite parts is because these photos just look so sophisticated and
so chic,
classy. And yeah, I'm glad you think that. Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, the subtitle. Yes. It all works. I love it.
And a couple other things about this book that I feel are special. One of them is that I have so many customization tips throughout everything. So even after my testing rounds, since there's so many testers, sometimes they would give conflicting advice. So sometimes one would be like, the sleeves should be longer. Some said the sleeves are too long. They should be shorter. So basically I'd find a happy medium. And then I was like, okay, I'll just include a note in the pattern. To make the sleeves longer, this is what you need to do. To make the sleeves shorter, this is what you need to do. So you can kind of do it. You know, I even have some of the patterns have a full page dedicated to like customization ideas. So like one of the patterns I used, one of the Hook Nook yarns called Small Stuff. And I made this cardigan and it's pretty much a very simple cardigan. And then I have a whole page. It's like, this is how you add a pocket. This is how you add a border. This is how you add length. This is where you eliminate rows. Like it's just, oh, this is how you add a belt loops and a tie. I just, all these things that I didn't necessarily do, but I'm like, here, take these and make it your own. So they basically, every pattern has all these little tips and tricks and things you can do to make it interesting or different or you.
Yeah.
And then I also pretty much saved every single photo that my tester sent me because in each pattern, when you read the book, you'll go to the page of the pattern that you want to make and there'll be a link. So it'll be like for example, the sweater that's on the cover of the book is called Emerald Valley. So on that homepage the first page of the pattern, it will say to view more information and tester photos or photos or something like that, go to knitsandknots.ca/emeraldvalley. So every single pattern in the book will have its own kind of blog page where anything that either wouldn't fit in the book will be included there. Other helpful information. I took all of my testers and all the yarns they used. I actually asked my testers to use like a different yarn than I used so that I could build a really good yarn sub list so that anyone, like if you're in Europe and you don't have access to this Lion Brand yarn, you can use all of these other yarns because I had testers from everywhere.
That's wonderful.
So there's a yarn sub list on the blog post. And then there will be the end of the post will have all the tester photos so that any reader or anyone who's making it who wants to see what it would look like either on their size, on someone who looks like them, or see how you can customize it. Because a lot of them, I told all my testers, you don't have to follow everything exactly. Like make it as though you're making it for yourself, not in a test, like make whatever little changes that you want. And so they did that. So they really do all look very unique. And I really love that. And I just wanted to make that clear. So it's not all just like me everywhere, but you can click this link or visit this link and you can see what it looks like on other people. And I so, yeah, that. Me too. Yeah. Thank you.
You'll get a lot of that often when it's just singular pattern design releases and you'll be able to see testers and all that on social media. So I do think that's a great standpoint of just continuing to build community with your audience and great marketing too. But yeah, I don't see or hear much of that in the book process. So to know that that's going to be like full circle from book to blog, I think is incredible. And I also think your patterns from what I've seen also can speak to more advanced experience makers as well. It has some patterns in there that to me, yes, they look detailed, but they look approachable. Like I said, you guys knocked it out of the park with calling it chic and everyday wear. You can sense that approachability immediately of like, this is something I would totally wear every day. All of the pieces that I've seen, they're very classic. To me, it looks everyday, but it does look like there was a lot of time put into the patterns. It looks like it's harder, but it definitely is approachable. And like, I would not consider myself an experienced crocheter. I'm excited to make all 20 of the patterns in your book. And I feel like I can do it. I do some crochet patterns. I feel like I couldn't do that. I'm like, half double crochet. I can't do it. But you kind of even explained some of the stitches that you use, right?
Yes, I have. And that's what I love about this book, that none of them I would say are advanced. Like when I think advanced crochet, I think really intricate lace, you know, really complicated things. I don't even know if I would consider myself an advanced crocheter. You know what I mean? Like maybe people listening are like, you are, but I don't feel like I am.
I think
I'm really not sure. Maybe if I've never really tried to make anything really detailed or like really intricate and ornate like that.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to have a range of sweaters so that like, I feel like they are all classic and whatever. And cause that's what I like. I don't like anything too crazy. Like none of my stuff has tons of color work in it or lace or whatever. It's all pretty wearable, basic closet staple kind of things.
Yeah.
And from the difficulty levels, I would say based on we use the same standards as the Craft Yarn Council uses. So the two that are mostly used are basic and easy, which I know sound the same, but there is a difference. Technically.
Yes, it is technically different. Yes.
And it's all explained in the book also, like what the levels are and whatever. And then there's a couple that I called intermediate. Like there's a rosebud cardigan that has a couple short rows in the collar. So I was, that might be a little past easy doing the short rows. And then there's another one called Whispering Pines and it's a raglan. And some of the raglan also has short rows. So I feel like, okay, that one's definitely intermediate too, but no matter your experience level, I feel like there's a pattern for you because there's some actually quite a few of the patterns are all one stitch. So they're either all half double crochet or they're all double crochet or all single crochet. Like a lot of them are only one stitch used.
That's amazing. That's great. Then so you're not, you know, it helps to go with that, like you said, easy beginner and effortlessness. Like if I can get this stitch, then I can make this piece. Yeah. And like I said, if you have to go through a little hurdle of working short rows, which at least on the knit side, I was so terrified of short rows and German short rows and all that stuff. And then once someone showed me how to do it just last year, I was like, so easy. That's all I gotta do.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
I know. I feel the same way about knitting. I'm definitely not as good a knitter as I am a crocheter. But every time I learn a new thing, it's usually something that I've heard, that I've heard of before. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh, I'm not good enough to do that. And then I'll actually watch a video on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have been doing this for years.
No, I love that. And I also think it's the versatility of the patterns that you offer as well. So just to kind of remind everyone again, what kind of pieces are in your book that they can make?
So there's a bunch of different pullovers of all kinds of different constructions. There's top-down circular yokes. There's top-down raglan. There's a couple different seamed sweaters. There's bottom-up. There's side-to-side. There's like a really good range of constructions. So even though like a lot of the ones I just mentioned, I'll use one stitch. And so it's kind of a good, easy, approachable way to learn different constructions. And like, once you learn a new technique, like a side to side sweater, I feel like your mind opens up when you try something new like that. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, let me try different stitches, or let me try making my own sweater like this. There's, a few different cardigans there's a cardigan that is side to side. Also, there's one that's bottom up. My rosebud cardigan, I'm really excited about that, because matches my best ever selling pattern is the rosebud raglan. And so now she gets a sister. And there's a faux fur capelet that has instructions on how to turn it into a cardigan if you want to. There's a poncho and a couple sweater dresses.
Awesome. Amazing. I love the range.
Yeah. And they'll all be available for individual purchase also, which is kind of cool. So if you're like, not sure you want to buy the book, you can buy one pattern, see if you like my writing style, and then you can make the leap if you want.
But, yeah. And it'll be totally getting all other 19 done.
Exactly.
I love that. Yes. We'll make sure that we share all of the links of where you guys can go and grab Janine's book, because it's just absolutely wonderful. I am so, so excited that you were able to take on such an immense, wonderful project in such a trying year as last year was. And that, you know, like you said, things happen for a reason, divine intervention. That's really incredible. It definitely sounds like you put a plethora of work and time into it. And so I'm just so excited for the community to be able to get their hands on it, but it is available for pre-order right now. I pre-ordered mine. I cannot wait to get it. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, like you said, having this opportunity come to you in the last year when it was such a trying year for all of us as individuals, personally, professionally, and for our community and the world, what would you say that you've really learned as a maker, knowing from what you knew and sort of started where you started in 2016? What have you learned as a maker in the last year, and what advice around that would you give to aspiring designers?
Well, okay, 2020, I know, was such a crap year for everyone, and parts of it were crap for me too. Like I said, I lived in a basement for multiple months, so it wasn't the best. But when I thought it couldn't get any worse, literally, when I thought, okay, I just lost everything.
Yeah.
Being a little dramatic, but you know. But then shortly after, I felt like so depressed, so like, oh my gosh, feeling really bummed, feeling really sorry for myself. I get this book deal. Then I bought a house. Didn't expect to buy a house. Somehow it worked out. And talking about divine intervention, possession day was on my birthday. And it turns out actually the people who were selling the house Googled my name, I guess, when we put our offer in, and they sent me an email talking about how it was an estate sale. It was his parents' house who we were buying. And he told me all about how his mom was such a really great sewist. Is that how you say it? She would sew, good sewist. Yeah. And that his dad was a woodworker. And it's funny, cause I'm all into knitting and crochet, and Matt is really into woodworking too. Awesome. And he sent me this really nice email about, oh, I'm so happy you're buying this house. And I don't know, it just felt like everything was just falling into place like it was supposed to, you know? Yeah. So it was so horrible. And then it was really, really good. I feel like most people were feeling really sorry for themselves, myself included, in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it really makes you realize what's important in life, and that you should create a life that makes you happy in like every area of life. You know what I mean? I realized like Well, I already knew this, but how much I freaking love living with Matt. Like, I love it so much. He's my best friend. Like, I will never get sick of him ever.
Yes.
And we've had so much fun, and just how lucky I am to do what I do, because if I had also lost my job, I don't know what we would have done. This was my saving grace, this job. Yeah. And his book also, like, right when the pandemic starts, I mean, talk about timing. Yeah. It just, I don't know. So I guess I just learned to be really grateful for what I have, and just to work really hard and build a life you love, because you never know, like, what parts you're going to lose. I felt really grateful just sitting in my house while the sun is beaming into the living room, yeah, kind of thinking like, how the heck am I in a house? How am I? And like, I just don't feel like I'm an adult. I'm in a freaking, yes, house, like, just knitting away. And I don't know, just, I was just feeling really grateful for everything. And I still, yeah, I really do feel that way. I'm just really, yeah, lucky. And this is my first time ever having an office, like a real office.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I love that. Such good advice. Live the life you love. I create the life you love. I really, mm-hmm, really love that. And I totally co-sign on it, because, yeah, like you said, you don't know. I think that's been a real global lesson, that you literally don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Everything about your life can change and shut down. And it's so important, because of that, to be open, I think, to the universe as well. Still be, mm-hmm, open, even in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficult times. Just trust who you are, but also be open to where you can go and what you can manifest your way, what you can bring to you. Because I also truly think, Janine, that your mindset and your belief in yourself and your love for this craft, you manifested this book to come into your life. You bring those people into your life. And I think that's what is so great about divine energy, and where you can really look back a year later or 5 years later and say, you know, I had a part to play in this. And when you have that passion mixed with the action of taking work, which is so important, because, yeah, I don't think we can have these type of projects if we don't put the work into it. You can want it. You can want a book all day long, but until you sit your tail down, whether that's in your basement, in your office, at a coffee shop, wherever, you got to put, you know, like, the rubber to the road and grind your butt out and get it done. And you've definitely done that. And to be able to keep your focus and your love and your passion through all of that, you definitely deserve a mixed cocktail of some sort.
Thank you. I've had many.
You started to celebrate a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
I love that. But I hope that we can all really, really take that and receive that. And I totally receive that. And I hear that from you. And I think it's been the same for me, to never feel that even when my world looks different, that I can't continue to, like I said, love what I love and try and create that. What is your current whip right now? What are you currently working on?
Oh my gosh. okay. Well, I just finished a pattern test, so it's not a whip anymore, for Joan Ho. Do you follow her on Instagram?
I do.
Oh my gosh. She is my maker crush. She's so good. It was this knit dress. It was amazing. So you should all go look at it. I posted it on Instagram. It's, yeah, called the Knit Girl Summer Dress. It's amazing. Love it. So that's not really a whip, because I just finished it.
You just finished it.
Okay. What else? Okay. I'm working on a raglan. It is kind of like a mesh kind of crochet raglan made with fingering weight yarn. I'm using wee crochet twill, I think is what it is. Mm-hmm. I work with wee crochet a lot, and yeah, I am, like, so grateful for that collaboration, because I, yes, freaking love their yarn so much.
Yeah.
So that raglan, I hope, will be out, I don't know, sometime in the fall. And I'm actually working on a total rewrite of the Rosebud raglan. So since I released that pattern in 2019, I have kind of advanced a lot in my pattern writing styles and just what's included in it. And I looked back at it and I was like, oh dear Lord, this is so awful. And I get you.
I do that with some of my patterns too. I'm like, what I was literally thinking?
Yeah. What was it? How could people have paid money for this?
How did they?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, but it's just not up to the standards of the rest of my pattern. So I'm trying to kind of update the popular ones and whatever. So I scrapped the entire pattern and I rewrote everything, regraded. I actually had a grader help me with that pattern, so it wasn't even my math that old pattern was. So anyway, so I rewrote the whole thing. Just got it back from my tech editor. So I'm going to be doing tests for that. So hopefully that will be out this fall too, an updated version of that. Awesome. I actually am also doing this spring collection for next year that I'm designing with my own hand-dyed yarn. I wanted to release it this year. So like spring 2021, but it just took a little too long that I'm like, you know what, we'll just do it next year. Cause I don't want to release it in the fall. It doesn't make sense really. And so now I'm like really prepared. My procrastination is turning me into like very prepared for next year. And there's like cardigans, wraps, bralettes. There's like tons of stuff in there. I have many whips.
Same. And I'm
woman of many whips.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to stop adding all these whips to my life, but also hashtag never not knitting all of the whips. Exactly. I do want to like emphasize hashtag knit girl summer dress. Go search that hashtag. Check it out. It's beautiful. It's like this beautiful knit off the shoulder with the cute little strap. I love the mm-hmm. color that you made it in. So, definitely go check out that pattern. And of course, I wanted us to get into talking about your contribution to the OML book. Our book is out, the Art Maker Life book. We collaborated with many incredible designers for many, many different types of patterns in the community. And Janine is one of them. So we'll share all the links and everything. And hopefully you guys have gotten the book and seen Janine's pattern in there. So we'll keep it a secret for now, meaning you have to go get the book. Where can people find you? Where can they lurk you on social media? Tell everybody where they can reach out to you.
On Instagram, I'm Knits and Knots WPG. That's for Winnipeg. So Knits and Knots WPG. If you're into Facebook, you can search the same thing on there. My blog is knitsandknots.ca. And if you want to look for the book, it's called Modern Crochet Sweaters, 20 Chic Designs for Everyday Wear.
Awesome. Well, Janine, all my love to you. Thank you so much for being first guest on season 2 of the OML podcast.
Thank you for letting me ramble on about all the exciting things that are happening. It's always so fun to talk to you.
It was a pleasure. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments, including basement to homeownership. And office. I hope you enjoy everything. You deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
So over the next few months, I'll be talking to really great, cool makers like Janine, who the OML team and I had the pleasure to specifically feature Janine's story and one of her pattern designs in our latest book release, the Art Maker Life book, which, you guys, it is a hardback, super beautiful volume of patterns and stories that we collaborated with nearly 30 fellow makers on. 30, you guys. And we released our book with Abrams Publishing this year. It's so exciting. I'm so happy about it. You can grab your copy of the new OML book through every major book retailer online and on shelves right now. I'm so, so, so proud of this project and so happy to feature many of the makers in the book. You can find those bookstore links at artmakerlife.org/book. I really hope you guys enjoy listening to the OML podcast. My team and I love producing them. And if you want to support and sponsor our podcast, we want to make it really simple for you guys for this second season. Buy us a cup of coffee, just $5 at ko-fi.com/OML. It's a virtual tip jar for our podcast and it will continue to support our movement. So you all have some cool content to listen to while you knit and crochet and dye yarn and do all the yarny things. And I'll be posting some exclusive podcast content over there on our Ko-fi page as well, just for our supporters. Again, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening and see you on the next one.